Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. And as you're turning there, share a little something with you. When my husband and I arrived at a car dealership to pick up our vehicle, we were told that the keys had been accidentally locked in it. We went to the service department and found a mechanic working feverishly to unlock the driver's side door. As I watched from the passenger side, I just instinctively tried the door handle and discovered it was unlocked. "Hey," I announced to the technician, "it's open." To which he replied, "I know, I already got that side." You get that one, Harley?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just checking. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about the blessed meek. Blessed are the meek. Let's pick up right in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake.'" Very well-known passage. We all know it as the Beatitudes. And to simply remember what is a Beatitude, think of it this way. These are the attitudes that ought to be. Beatitudes. Amen? That word blessed here that we see over and over is translated in many different Bibles as happy. And I think that's a really big mistake. That translation falls way, way short of the true meaning of that word blessed. Blessed comes from the Greek word makarios. And it simply means having everything you need. So the word happy really doesn't do it justice. And what Jesus is talking about here, he's speaking about our spiritual well-being. He's not talking about having everything that we need physically, although God does promise that to us as his children. Jesus is more talking here about our spiritual well-being. He's talking about having everything that we need spiritually. Amen? Too many Christians waste way too much time and energy seeking happiness. Happiness is solely 100% determined and based on our circumstances. Amen? Happiness is 100% based on circumstances. What we ought to be seeking is blessedness instead of happiness. In actuality, if your heart is truly right with God, if you've made things right with God through Jesus Christ, blessedness will actually seek you out in your life. Now, Jesus is really dealing with, we break it down, we look at the Beatitudes, he's really dealing with Christian character. Christian character. Your reputation is what others think of you, right? It's how others perceive you. That's your reputation. That's the word that gets sent around. But character is what God and your wife knows about you. Amen? That's character. That's who you truly are. That's who you really are, is your character. Now we see here in verse 5, the Bible says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And this is the verse that I really want to spend time on this morning. I want us to dig a little deeper into that word meek and really understand what meekness is really all about. We think of meekness today, and meekness is not a popular quality, is it, today? People look down upon the meek. The world today actually frowns upon those who are meek. Why? Because they see meek as weak. They equate meekness to weakness. The world will say, blessed are the bold, or blessed are the strong, or blessed are the daring. But not Christ. Our Lord chose to say, blessed are the meek. Amen? Mark this down. Meekness is not weakness. We need to etch that in our heart. Amen? Meekness is not weakness. It takes an exceptionally strong person to be meek. If you don't believe me, try being meek for a week and see how strong you have to be to make that happen. Amen? It takes a strong person to be meek. Now, the Bible gives us two great examples of meek men. The first is that of Moses. Meek Moses. The Bible tells us that there was no man as meek as Moses, not one. But we need to understand who Moses was. Moses was the one who stood up for his people. Moses was the one who stood before Pharaoh, the most powerful man upon the earth during his day. Moses was the one who stood before Pharaoh and demanded, "Let my people go." Amen. He was the one that led a nation of slaves away from the strongest army in the world. That was Moses. Meek Moses. The second is Christ himself. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek," some translations may have gentle, "for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Meek. Meek Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus was far from weak. Amen? He was the one who chased those money chasers out of the temple, and he spanked them with a whip. Jesus was the one who was mocked and beaten and spat upon and nailed to a cross and crucified for you and for me. Meek Jesus, far from weak. Amen? Meekness is not weakness. The first point I want us to see is we dig a little bit deeper into meekness. So what is meekness? What is the definition? What are we talking about when we talk about meekness? Well, meekness means to have a submissive spirit. It's putting others' needs before your needs. You know, a lot of people get confused when Jesus was talking about, he says, if you I was in jail and you visited me not and you fed me not. He was talking about what you do to others, you do what? Unto me. He said, what you do to the least of those, you do unto me. It's talking about having a servant spirit, putting others' needs before my needs. It's the opposite of self-willed. It's having that servant spirit, that servant heart, the same heart that Christ had. Jesus came as our servant leader. Now, when we look at the Beatitudes, going back to Matthew 5, I want you to notice something here. They're just like everything else in the Bible. There's no coincidence. There's no randomness at all with Scripture. Amen? We need to understand that. And here, when Jesus goes through these Beatitudes, these attitudes that ought to be in us, there's actually there's an order to them. We look in verse 3. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." What Jesus is setting here, this illustrates our spiritual state. As sinners, we are spiritually bankrupt. We are spiritually poor, right? That means we're so poor we can't afford the O-R at the end of it. We are spiritually poor, spiritually bankrupt. And then we look at the next order. First, we're poor in spirit, spiritually bankrupt. Then he says, blessed are those who mourn. Once we see our true state, we experience shame. And once we realize that we are wretched sinners, we are shamed and we cry out to the Lord for forgiveness, don't we? And then we see verse 5. Blessed are the meek. You see, these steps, the poor in spirit, realizing that we are spiritually bankrupt, those who mourn, getting on our knees and crying out to the Lord for forgiveness, these lead to submission. Spiritual submission, meekness, is controlled strength. Amen? It's controlled strength. This is when we give our heart to Christ, when we yield our will to His will, when we yield our ways to His ways. It's simply having that submissive spirit in our new Master, our new Sovereign, Jesus Christ Himself. We are now meek, but not weak. Amen? Think of it in terms of bridling a horse. Amen? You have this wild horse, it's never been tamed, going about and doing whatever he wants. And then you come upon that horse and you put a bridle on him. That horse still has its same strength, it still has its same drive, it still has its same fire inside of it. But now, it's just submissive, and that power is under control. Strength under control. Now, we think of this world, and again, this world, that's Satan's system, right? We talk about the world, we're talking about Satan's system. Satan is the prince and power of the air. This is his domain. So the world will handle that wild horse much differently than what the Bible shows us. Amen? There's two main ways they treat that wild horse. One way, the world will just say, let that wild horse just run wild. And this generation today is doing exactly that, isn't it? Just run wild. Do whatever you want. There's no restraint. Just indulgence. Just run wild, do whatever you want. Even a massive brand out there, Nike, what's their slogan? Just what? Just do it. Amen? Just do it. Run wild, do whatever you want. Interesting thing is that this was actually the teaching of a philosopher named Nietzsche. Anyone ever study Nietzsche or hear of Nietzsche in high school or college? Nietzsche, I quote, he said, we need to purge out of our soul the disease and the devil of Christianity. This was his teaching. He said, progress depends on the strong man. Therefore, be strong and assert yourself. Guess who just happened to be one of Nietzsche's biggest students? A man called Adolf Hitler. And we all know how that turned out, right? His idea, after the teachings of Nietzsche, was to create a super race. So the world says, one way we can deal with him is to just let him run wild. Just do it. No restraint whatsoever. Second way is really the polar opposite, the complete opposite. We have no restraint, and then the world will also go to the far extreme of total restraint. The idea here is to cripple that horse so that it can't run at all. This is actually the teachings of Buddhism. It says that our difficulties arise out of our desires that cannot be met. So we must dampen those desires so that we are never disappointed. And when we do that, that's when we discover nirvana, according to Buddhism. Now, needless to say, That is the world's extremes. That is the way the world approaches the unsaved. Let them run wild, no restraint, do whatever you want. Or the polar opposite, complete restraint. But neither one of these are biblical. What does the Bible say? Well, Jesus said, plain and simple, right here, he said, blessed are the meek. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 19. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church in Rome, he said, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Friends, that is meekness in a nutshell. That is the bridled horse. That is strength under control. It's the same eyes and ears and tongue and hands and heart that we always had. But they are just submissive and under control now. Amen? Are they perfect all the time? No. We slip up. We mess up, right? We fall back and let the flesh take over from time to time. But as a whole, if we have Christ in our heart, our tongue and our ears and our eyes and our hands and our mouth, they're all under control. They're submissive to Him. Our heart's desire is to please Him. Meekness comes when we yield our spirit over to Christ's authority and we say, not my will, but yours be done. Amen? Second point. Now that we get a little more understanding about what meekness is, let's consider how does meekness come about? Well, we have to go back to our original text in Matthew 5 and look back at the order that Jesus gives us here of the Beatitudes. Again, in verse 3, it starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit. Again, spiritually bankrupt. Then you move into the next stage. Blessed are those who mourn. You become brokenhearted over those sins. Amen? And become one of those who mourn. You cry out to the Lord for forgiveness. Realize that you're a lost sinner. That's the first step. Amen? We have to come to that point. We have to come to that point where we are spiritually broken. We realize that we are a lost sinner. We realize that we have no hope on our own, and we become broken before Christ. That must happen before we can become meek. Amen? You cannot yield your heart. You can't yield your will. You can't turn over your life to Christ until you have become broken at His feet over your sins, first and foremost. Amen. So that's the first step in growing in meekness. So how do we get there? How do we continue to grow once we take that first step? We receive Christ, we turn our will over to His. How does meekness develop inside of us? Well, first, starts with that submissiveness to Christ. Amen? It's not just a one-time thing. Get on my knees, cry out to the Lord, ask Him for forgiveness, and then I go back to my old ways, is it? It's every day being submissive to His will, isn't it? That is the first step. Matthew, let's go back to Matthew 11. I looked at one verse there, but there's a couple other verses that we need to take into context. Matthew 11, starting at verse 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The key there to understanding meekness is when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon yourself. what Jesus was saying, he literally means, follow my lead. Amen? Follow after me. I gave you the example in my earthly ministry. Now you need to submit to me and follow my lead. That's also important for us to understand. Christ will always go before us, not behind us, and push us along. Amen? He leads us, and he leads it up to us whether we continue to follow him or go astray. It's our choice. God will never force you to do anything. He leads us into the path of righteousness. He leads us away from troubles. Amen? It's up to us to stay submissive and follow. That's our responsibility. Jesus gives us the invitation right here. He said, come unto me. He sends out the invitation, but the choice is always our choice, whether we respond or we ignore him. Amen? Step one is being submissive to Christ. Step two, we must get into the Word until the Word gets into us. Amen? Get into God's Word. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word. What is that? It's talking about the Bible, which is able to save your souls. So we need to understand, first we receive Jesus, and then we receive his Word. Amen? Come to Christ first, receive him as our Lord and Savior. That is the living Word. And next we have to receive his written Word. We receive it where? Up here? Now, that goes in one ear and out the other. We have to receive it in our hearts. Amen? Receive it in our heart. How? He said, with meekness. Now, it's interesting here, that word receive in this verse comes from the Greek word which means to welcome with humility. Amen? Receive with meekness. Welcome into our hearts with humility. It's saying that we must be ready to do what it says with humility and meekness. Get into the Word until it gets into us, until we just follow Christ and it becomes second nature. Amen? We wake up, we get into the Word, and we follow his lead and his direction each and every day. Third step. Once we've received Christ, once we've received his Word, then we have to walk in his Spirit. Amen? Galatians chapter 5. Very familiar passage. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Some versions have gentleness. It's also the word meekness and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. Amen? Meekness is one of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Once we receive Christ, we take his yoke, we follow his lead, we submit to him. Then we receive his Word into our hearts and we do exactly what he tells us to do. We do what it says. That's when we begin to bear the fruit of meekness in our lives. Amen? His Holy Spirit will begin to do that work inside of us. You know, once we're saved, we don't flip on a switch and we become that perfect quick Christian, do we? It's a progression. We slowly grow in grace in Christ. We allow his Holy Spirit to work inside of us, and he changes us from the inside out, and it takes time. Amen? It takes commitment. It takes a submissive spirit to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. So now that we know, you know, what meekness is, we see how it comes about. Let's consider the end result. Blessed are the meek, For they shall what? Inherit the earth. So think about that for a minute. They shall inherit the earth. A few decades ago, a man was sitting on the sidewalk crying. Another man approached and he asked, he said, "Sir, may I ask what's wrong?" The man in tears says, "Didn't you hear? Mr. Rockefeller, the wealthiest, richest man in the world, just died." The man looked at him and he asked, "Are you a relative of his?" The crying man looked up and he replied, "No, that's why I'm crying." But isn't that the inheritance that this world thinks about, right? Isn't that the inheritance that we dream about, that type of inheritance, and inheriting a rich uncle or a rich grandfather, inheriting all that money that gets passed down? You know, these last couple weeks, what's been all over the news, the frenzy, everybody's buying lottery tickets, right? You know, the Powerball and the Mega Million, they were both close to $1 billion, and everybody was in a frenzy thinking about that type of inheritance. But what exactly is Jesus saying here when he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth"? I don't know about you, but I think the earth is much more valuable than just $1 billion. Amen. What is he talking about? Well, two things. Jesus has a twofold message when he says we shall inherit the earth. First, he's talking about the here and now. And then he's also talking about the hereafter. He's talking about the nasty now and the sweet by and by. It's a twofold message. So how do we inherit it now? Well, let's look in 1 Corinthians. We're actually going to be looking in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Skipping down to verse 21. "Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours." Again, this is the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing to the Christians, the church at Corinth. So when he says, "For all things are yours," he's not talking about everybody in the world. He's talking about God's children. He's talking about those who are Christ. He says, "Therefore, do not boast in men, for all things are yours." Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, again, those were the large Christian leaders of his day. Whether you followed Paul or whether you followed Apollos or whether you were a follower of Cephas, he said, "Or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Now we take that, then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 10, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things." What God is talking about, what Christ is talking about here, this all falls back to blessedness. What we talked about at the beginning with blessedness. With blessedness, we have Jesus Christ, and if we have Jesus Christ, that means we have everything. Amen? The Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. Whatever He has, we have. But without Him, without blessedness, we have nothing. Amen? Absolutely nothing. So the question is this morning, do you have the attitude that you ought to have in Jesus Christ? That is what beatitude is all about, having the attitude that we ought to be. Amen? So do you have that attitude that we ought to have in Christ? Do you have that attitude of blessedness in Him, understanding that if we have Him, we have everything? Amen? So that's the here and now, right? What about the hereafter? I think we can see it best in the Lord's Prayer, right? Think about the Lord's Prayer. Think about what we're actually saying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Amen? There's coming a day when the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our Lord, and he will reign forever and ever. Amen. And guess who's going to reign with him? You and me. The Bible guarantees that if we are a child of God, once we die or once he comes and the rapture comes, once we are taken home, this world is not our home, amen? We're just strangers passing through. Our home is in glory. And when our Lord takes us home, the Bible guarantees that we will never, ever be separated from him. So when he comes and the kingdoms of this world become his kingdom, we will reign with him forever and ever. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But friends, we need to understand it all starts with a servant spirit. That submissive spirit, yielding our heart to his heart and saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done.